And now, live from the Eagle Newsroom in Bryan, it's Aggie Nation, covering Aggie football since the first game in 1894 and every game since. Talking all things A&M and all the pro and high school sports you want to hear. Aggie Nation on Sports Radio 1150, The Zone.
Welcome to Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle. I said it's a good afternoon for everyone else. I hope it is.
I know you're not feeling.
I'm down. I'm down today, man. I'm under the weather.
You look like A&M's basketball team in the first half.
Yeah, I mean, I have not bounced back. It's been a rough day.
You'll bounce back.
I got up this morning. It was just, you know, those days you're just like, man, I can't breathe. I can't. It's brutal. So if I pass out and die at some point, then Cease is on his own today.
We'll go to the best of.
Yeah. Hopefully we die in the last hour, because I don't think we can go to a whole 2 hours out of best of. The show's brought to you by MSE Opus. Check out all the events coming this season at MSEOpus.org. Lots of great stuff there, so go get your tickets. As always, you can call us, 693-1150, text us, 22919. We've got a lot of basketball stuff we want to talk about. We will get to A&M Arkansas. We'll get to how it affects the big picture. And we're going to get to other games going on tonight, but another big night. Last night and tonight were big nights in college basketball, Monday and Thursday, not so much. And then this insane story that maybe is a story, and then maybe it isn't a story, about the walk-on player at Baylor. We'll get to that a little bit later on. It's not so much of what the story means to me. It's probably a non-story by the time it's done. But it's another one of those the world we live in now type things that I think is interesting that we'll talk about later. But first, we gotta talk about you, Cease. Today was the big party. I know you don't want to talk about it. Today we had a big get together. I even stopped by and I wasn't feeling well. Just make an appearance. I don't like people saying I don't attend stuff.
So okay,
I
had to stop by for a minute.
Your 48th year at the Eagle. You've been around here forever, and you know, we had a big meal today. People gave speeches. Larry gave a speech, which lasted, I assume, 45 minutes. Knowing Larry,
wow.
But it's been, I guess, congrats on, or I'm sorry, for either one, whichever one you feel is more appropriate, for 40 years at the Eagle. It's an interesting time, and this is why I wanted to bring it up on the show today, because you got to cover an interesting time at Texas A&M, and still covering an interesting time at Texas A&M, from what A&M was when you first came on to what it is now, both as a university and as an athletic program. I thought it's interesting, and I thought maybe I'd ask, you know, if you had some favorite games, favorite personalities, anything that, you know, from your time that always just stick out.
Well, you mentioned the different eras, which I think is appropriate. When I came down here from Pennsylvania, I'd never been further west than Dayton, Ohio, and I was a big Penn State fan, and I come down here, and man, if you're an Eastern and you come to Texas for the first time, you go like, wow, kind of hot, don't know what I've done down here. And I got to admit, you've heard about University of Texas, but I really learned a lot about Texas A&M when I came down here 40 years ago, and 41. And I remember going out to the game. I think the first game I saw, I have to go back and look, I think it was Clemson when I went out, and sat with the students, because I was already had a degree, but I was taking some courses at A&M. And everyone was talking about Emory Blard. You got to remember, in 74, 75, they started getting it together. And everybody told me about how they were starved for that they could just win, because they were kissing on first downs. Like, what do you mean kiss on first downs? And then they told me how that worked. And back then, they just wanted a winner. If they could go to a bowl game, it'd be great. Now I laugh. Now they're talking about winning national championships, even though they still won a conference championship since gone back a ways. And building this stadium, and it's amazing how the university has grown in the time I've been here. And I can think about, all you got to do is look at Kyle Field, how it is expanding. You look at all the facilities around A&M. And obviously for the better, everything for the better. And it's been fun. You talk about personalities. Man, come on. I was talking about A&M. You cover R.C. Slocum. It's hard not to like R.C. Slocum, what he stands for, and And I always said, it's pretty good when the coach can call you up, and he always called me and says, who's this? How you doing? I was talking to him, who's this? You know? And then Jackie Sherrill, and I've always had a great relationship with Jackie Sherrill. And I always tell people Jackie was hot, did what he was hired to do. I'll just leave it at that. And I thought Jackie was one of the great characters and remains one of the great characters. And he had his right-hand man was a guy named Alan Jones. And Alan was quite a great character. When you look at all the players that A&M had, and come on, you gravitate back to the coaches because you always dealt with them so much. Shelby Metcalf, if I wrote a book, Shelby would be in there. And as a young reporter, I tell a story I think it's worth telling again. And Shelby undressed me in front of the media one day. My first assignment to cover A&M men's basketball was A&M had a player named Maurice McDaniel. And you remember these things as a young reporter. Maurice McDaniel played at Temple. And so the Eagles sent me out to do a feature on Maurice McDaniel. They were a long road trip. A&M basketball comes back, and they're playing. Well, it turns out Shelby kicked Maurice McDaniel off the team 2 days earlier. So I'm not going to do a feature on a guy that doesn't exist. So, anyway, Shelby loses the game. A&M loses the game. And back then, it was so much different. You walked up, went upstairs in the old G. Raleigh White, go up into where Shelby's office was, SIDs, you're sitting there. All these veteran reports, Jack Gallagher, Denny Freeman. You're just sitting there, and some of them even was drinking a beer back then, and you were talking to Shelby. So here's the rookie reporter, and they're talking about everything else. And out of the clear blue sky, I go, you know, what happened to Maurice McDaniel? And Shelby looked over me and goes, why would you ask a question like that? And needless to say, I start saying, well, and everybody else gets real quiet around me. And needless to say, my face is red. I feel like I'm going to disappear. And so Shelby, and we move on. It doesn't answer my question, basically. And just then, the other reporter, I forget who they were playing, was over doing the opposing team locker room. So this guy comes in, and he sits down right beside me. And it's one of the lines I'll never forget. And he goes, and Shelby at that time was picked to win conference, whatever year, probably 76, somewhere along that. And he goes, Coach, did you ever dream that you'd be 0-3? And he goes, dream? And the next two sentences, expletive, da-da-da. It's a nightmare. Do you and him, and he pointed to me, goes, do you guys sit there and think of these questions during the game? So you could do, and I felt really good that he's just ripping this veteran reporter. And I just loved it. And so when I left that day from that press conference, I walked down, and out of the corner comes Shelby Metcalf. Puts his arm around me, goes, son, I'm sorry I did that, you know. It's a tough day, whatever, da da. But that was the start of a great friendship with Shelby Metcalf.
I believe, speaking of personalities, that I believe Chip is over in the studio and wants to add something to the conversation.
Well, first of all, I had no idea Seston was that much older than I was. We assumed we were pretty much the same age. I didn't realize he started at the Eagle when he was 10. And second of all, I'm really sorry to miss the dinner, the lunch today, but when I heard that Bowen was speaking, I didn't have time. I had work to do, so I'm really sorry to miss the lunch, but when I heard Bowen was going to speak, I just didn't have time.
Yeah, when Bowen's on the mic, you got to set aside at least an hour or two.
Yeah, and I just didn't have that, and I want to apologize publicly to Cessna for missing the luncheon today.
Here's the deal, Chip. It was the shortest speech ever by Larry Bowen because he just hit the highlights of my career.
Well, you know, I could tell some stories. This probably isn't the proper forum to do that. But, you know, it's really, really remarkable to have anybody in one place for 40 years. And in this business, it just almost never, ever happens. And it's a testimony to who Cease is and to what he's been for this community all these years. And at one time, I likened Cease to the Jimmy Stewart character in It's a Wonderful Life. And I feel like that was probably an apt description of what he's done and what he's meant to this community for 40 years. And I'm proud to call him a friend.
Chip, I really appreciate that. And Chip's one of the great stories. I always like to get Chip to laugh if I could, so he have to stop announcing when we did Brian Athletic Games. And Chip,
all he had to do was try to pronounce a name, and then I was done.
And Chip was one of the hardest workers in pregame, and I would never do my research, and I just go off the cuff. But Chip would do a great job, and I really appreciate those times. But I always remember the time I think I got him best, when we were doing Brian at New Caney, and New Caney had lost like 30-some games in a row or whatever. And Chip, you know, when the game started getting out of hand, Chip had to do things. And Chip goes, the cheerleaders now are throwing miniature footballs up in the stands. And I go, and like New Caney fans, they're not catching them. And Chip just started laughing, and he couldn't go on with it for one play.
Well, there we go. Sounds good. Chip, thanks for coming
on, guys.
With us. Like I said, we want to take a little bit. I know you don't like talking about yourself too often, but take a little bit to celebrate a milestone.
I'm glad Chip mentioned Jimmy Stewart. He's from Pennsylvania, Indiana, Pennsylvania, which is only 30 miles from home. It's one of my favorite movies. It's A Wonderful Life, because I feel everybody has a wonderful life. It's what you make out of it, and I made some bad decisions in life. I'll be the first to admit it, and make mistakes all the time. But when you have people that you work for and people that you cover that care about you, and it makes it worthwhile. And one of the, you know, I made a lot of great decisions. I feel I made more great decisions than bad decisions. One is God's in charge of my life, not anybody else, and He's got a better plan. And moving to Texas was a great, great deal to Bryan College Station, marrying my lovely wife and having three beautiful children. But just the people I work with, you know, you don't want to mention everybody and get sappy, but, you know, Kelly Brown's not a boss. She's one of the best friends of the family. When I got tough times in life, who's the first person I call is Kelly. And I think of the Merrill Greens, and like I mentioned, all the coaches I've had the great pleasure, Ross Rogers and Mr. Hedrick, and the list goes, and you'll leave people out, but I've covered thousands of people that I have great relationships, Larry Brown, and I could go on, and the people at A&M, and they understand, I feel most people do, I've got a job to do, and I'm going to say some things that you might disagree with, but I'm going to always do it to the best of my ability, and I just love the people I cover. I love the people I work with. I love the people I work with. That doesn't say I'm not going to disagree with them. I'm not going to get mad at them. I'm not going to chastise them or be chastised. But it's, you know, I'll be like a coach. It's all about people. That's what life gets down to. It's all about people.
There you go. We got a texter. It's a good way to end the segment. I think a texter said, wow, Cessna's been mispronouncing names for 40 years. Congratulations.
And hopefully I'll keep mispronouncing them.
There we go. We got a lot more names to mess up in the future. Let's go to break. 229-1939 is the text line, 693-1150. You want to call us when we come back. Let's talk A&M Arkansas, and we'll talk about the big picture, what this means for going down the road when we come back. So come back with us. Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle, Sports Radio 1150, The Zone.
Double the Bellucci Hour, and you double the fun. So, twice a week, have lunch at the Tap from noon to 1 with Billy Lucci and Bryce Jones of TexAgs Radio. Billy and Bryce have the answers to all your recruiting questions and everything else you need to know to get in the know for Aggie football. The 2015 offseason doesn't feel half as long with a Bellucci Hour lunch. Brought to you in part by Stephen Gustitis, attorney at law. Don't miss the Bellucci Hour every Monday and Thursday from noon till 1 at the Tap.
Do you dream of a new career?
When I first decided to come to Vista College, I was very upset with where my career was at the time.
At Vista College, you get the real-world training you need for a career you'll love.
I wanted to do something that I actually enjoyed. I saw Vista College as that opportunity. I didn't see it feasible for me to go back to university, learn something completely new, and take all that time to make a career change.
Classes start every 5 weeks. Take courses day or night, or even online. From business administration and computer networking to medical fields, Vista College has a program that is right for you.
Vista College was perfect for me because I basically left another job, started Vista College 3 weeks later. About 9 months later, I was done, took a week's vacation, and I was back at work that following Monday.
Consumer information may be viewed at vistacollege.edu. Call Vista College now, 979-200-2010. That's 200-2010. Vista College College Station is a branch campus of Vista College, El Paso, Texas. Call 200-2010.
Howdy, this is Royce Hickman, president of the Bryan College Station Chamber of Commerce. The Chamber, the Brass Valley Restaurant Association, and title sponsor HEB invite you to a Taste of Aggieland, an Epicurean Extravaganza, Tuesday, March the 3rd, beginning at 5:45 p.m. at the Brazos County Expo Complex. Come sample cuisine from many local restaurants while enjoying an evening of entertainment, plus all the food and beverage from your favorite places. What a great way to spend your night. General admission, just $25. Premium tickets, only $50. Bring your appetite and bring your friends to a Taste of Aggieland, Tuesday, March the 3rd. Call 260-5200 for more details.
Whether at work or play, your trucks and equipment take a beating every day. Make them last with Rhino Lining Protective Coatings. If you're investing in a new truck or just looking to add life to your existing truck, trailer, RV, and equipment, Rhino Linings is a proven solution. The new Rhino Extreme Coating offers superior resistance against chemical, rust, and corrosion, as well as durable impact resistance to withstand those heavy loads. If you want an industrial strength truck bed liner, go extreme. Get yours today at Texas Custom Outfitters on Highway 6 in Navasota. Call for more info, 936-870-3009.
Whether you're getting married
or thinking about getting married,
be sure to pick up the new issue of Brazos Valley Bride Magazine. You'll find pictures of beautiful local brides, timeless venues, elegant wedding cakes, exquisite engagement rings, and exciting wedding entertainment. It features only the best to help you in your wedding planning.
Pick up your free copy today at VIP Bridal, Village Foods, Rudy's Barbecue, the Chocolate Gallery, and many other places around town, or read it online at BrazosValleyBride.com.
Sports Radio, 1150 The Zone, Bryan College Station Institution since 2000.
Darkest of night with the moon shining bright. There's a set going strong, a lot of things going on. The man of the hour has an air of great power. The dudes have envied him for so long. Oh, super fly. You're gonna make your fortune by and by. But if you lose, don't ask no questions why.
Long long you, by the way.
I love it. It's great. I love that song.
Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle, Aubrey Bloom, Robert Cessna. Enough about you. Let's talk about the sports. A&M went on the road last night to Arkansas and played in the worst half of basketball of the season. And
how many seasons, maybe? Just not the season.
It was, you know, it's one of those things where it's you couldn't just put it on one person. I mean, this was a full-scale meltdown. Oh. Everybody was off their game at the beginning. They had... And at one point, this is where I get frustrated with announcers, because they say, you know, they were talking about how at one point, they said one thing that Arkansas hasn't done well tonight is rebound. They're minus whatever in rebounding. Well, that's because A&M had 20 possessions where they didn't shoot.
Turnovers. You can't get a rebound off a turnover.
You can't rebound if the other team doesn't shoot.
Unless you've got great homers on statisticians.
Yeah.
That's a rebound. Turnover,
so
rebound.
It's hard to be plus in rebounding when the other team has 20 empty possessions. And... Like, I think it was like 18 of them in the first half. I mean, that's all you need to know.
Well, five in the first five possessions. I mean, that's not the 5-for-5 you want to be.
No, it was, and it was, I don't know if it was the crowd. I don't know if it was the pressure. Because it didn't seem like it was the, I mean, a lot of, they stepped out of bounds several times. And that's just not being focused. You can't step out of bounds.
I didn't have sound on because I was trying to do, I covered a high school game last night. And sometimes, like you said, it's good not to have the announcers on. You form your own conclusion. And to me, they just looked overwhelmed. I mean, I thought they'd go in there ready for that game, because we always talk about how this team is always ready. They've responded to everything. But that being said, wow, that second half.
Wow. Well, and then in the first half, it was just amazing, the three-point shooting that Arkansas had. This is a team, one, A&M is one of the best in the league. I think the best going in. They may not be the best anymore, but at defending the three-point line, opponents were shooting like 29% from beyond the arc. And Arkansas just bombed them. I mean, they were like 8 of 14 in the first half or something crazy. I mean, they just absolutely just bombed them away. And A&M couldn't answer. They couldn't even get the ball down the court. And then when they did get it down the court, they made lazy passes and this kind of stuff. And you're thinking at halftime, like, maybe the travel was a problem, and maybe they really weren't focused. I mean, maybe they couldn't sleep the night before. Who knows what it was.
Something.
But as bad as the first half was, the second half was encouraging. And really, because if you look at just the second half and how it unfolded, I don't think it's crazy to say that A&M not should have won, but this game should have come down to the final possession. A&M had, I think A&M had three possessions in a row where they could have cut it to less than 10, and they didn't. And then they got it to within two at one point, and had a chance. You know, it's one of those games that sometimes over the course of a game, your emotions go one way or the other. And was it a disappointing first half? Yes. Was the second half that impressive? Yes. In the end, what happened was what was going to happen. They lost by almost exactly. In fact, Alex Robinson's three at the buzzer clipped the spread. Talk about a backdoor
that's
cover.
Bottom, yeah, it's bottom line.
But that's what the I mean. It, the, gamblers. The end result was the end result, and the thing is, what I keep coming back to, and we're going to talk about the big picture next segment, so I don't want to dive too much on that. But as good as this team has been at times, and as good as I think they really are overall, they haven't shown that they can beat anybody good except LSU. And even LSU,
we don't know if LSU's good. I mean,
yeah, exactly. And that's if you think LSU is good. So
you're right, because what could that win have done last night?
Well,
you're down by that many and win that game.
Yeah, and like I said, we're gonna break down the whole thing next. But this is one that you would have liked to see them. I'll tell you, I'll put it this way. I think it would have been better for A&M if this would have been a close game and they lost than the fact that they got blown out and then got unblown out and then ended up losing anyway, because most people probably didn't even watch the second half.
Okay, I guess whether you want to. Food for thought then. My question, I was going to ask you, if you're on the plane coming back, if you're a player, how do you feel? And if you're a coach, how do you feel? Kennedy, so maybe you can answer that. But I was going to ask, how would you feel if you went through those emotions and you're Coach Kennedy or you are House coming back on the plane? What's your thoughts? Now you can answer it now. You can wait. The next
well, on that, because that's more A&M specific, it you feel good afterwards because you came back and you made it a game. But at the same time, I mean, you just got run off the court in the first half. And you can't – and it wasn't for a long portion of the game. Yes, they were shooting better than normal, but Arkansas was hovering in the mid-50s% in shooting, which isn't astronomical. I mean, it's not like they were hitting 90% of their shots or anything. And a big reason they were hitting so many is they were wide open. I mean, A&M looked completely disinterested and for most of the first half.
And to me, when I was watching that, like I said, I didn't have any sound on. I've always thought the one thing you could say about Kennedy's teams is they played pretty good defense. Get after you. In that first half,
no, they weren't getting after anybody.
I didn't see almost any defense.
I'll tell you, and I can't remember if it was late in the first half or early in the second half, but one of my favorite plays of the game was that Arkansas went on a 4-on-0 fast break. And everyone else just stood around and watched it happen, except, of all people, Tony Trocia comes flying in to foul the guy and make sure he doesn't do some crazy dunk or anything. I liked that play. Daniel House was getting after it. I mean, he was doing all he can do. He turned the ball over a few times, but when you shoot the ball that much, that's going to happen. But he also, you know, set them out. But the thing is, what was disappointing if you're an A&M fan and looking towards the tournament is Courtney Roberson just acted like he's dribbling up the middle of the court and gets the ball poked out from behind twice. I mean, you're Courtney Roberson.
I understand.
You're not going to go all the way coast to coast without someone sneaking up behind you. And Jordan Green was essentially a non-factor in this game. That's another senior. Jalen Jones, who's been one of your cornerstone players, was terrible in this game.
Brutal.
And Alex Caruso was bad in the first half. Mm-hmm. He came around a little bit in the second half, and then, you know, if you're, and that's the downside. The positives are, Alex Robinson finally looked decent again.
Yes,
he had a good second half. He was in the flow of the game, hit a couple shots, didn't turn the ball over an extraordinary amount for him. Obviously, Daniel House is a positive. And so, and then the team, you know, fought it for whatever it's worth, fought their way back through. I thought they, you know, again, did all they could do in the second half, but still, it wasn't enough. I mean, it wasn't enough to play against a good team like that. And you can't bury yourself in a big hole, but it's part of
it. Well, when I watched the game, I think a lot of different things. Now I'm saying to myself, I'm kind of anxious to see the SEC tournament because I don't know if I'm going to gauge on this team of who they have left because they should beat the teams they have left, and I'd be surprised if they don't come back and really take care of Auburn on Saturday, win by 10 or 15
kill
points.
Auburn.
and I don't think Alabama can stick with them. And so suddenly you're looking to the SEC tournament before they play an Ole Miss or someone like that that might be to see if they've learned anything from that Arkansas game.
Yeah, let's go ahead and go to break, and we'll come back, and that's what I want to talk about, because the SEC tournament's going to be big for A&M probably, you know, we'll talk about it next. We're going to talk about the bubble, what this game means, and the kind of the big picture of where A&M stands. We'll do that when we come back. Keep your texts coming, 229-1939, and come back with us. Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle, Sports Radio 1150, The Zone.
From News Talk 1620 WTAW, I'm Chelsea Reber with a news update on Sports Radio 1150, The Zone. Almost as soon as it was received, the president vetoed the Keystone Oil Pipeline. Congressman Bill Flores of Bryan issued a statement that in part says, the president has given his veto pen to Washington insiders and special interest groups, and the president is blocking domestic job creation and sending American jobs to China. The entire statement is online at WTAW.com. Brazos County commissioners have unanimously approved the contract bringing the Roastmaster to town. Comedian and Comedy Central host Jeff Ross will be performing before three sold-out shows at the county's detention center. Jail Administrator Wayne Dickey answered the only question regarding additional county expenses.
Overtime for security and for maintenance and IT, and so we will be reimbursed for those things, and there will be a net zero financial impact.
One group of female inmates and two groups of men will be watching Ross, whose producers chose Brazos County in a nationwide search to produce a Comedy Central special. A College Station man caught shoplifting last November is headed to prison. That's due to the criminal history of 30-year-old Adrian Jackson. The three-year prison term took into account two prior property thefts and two drug cases. Court records indicate Jackson has 18 convictions in the last 12 years, mostly for property and drug crimes. The Texas A&M student body president at the time of the bonfire collapse 15 years ago will be this year's campus muster speaker. Newly elected Congressman Will Hurd of San Antonio, class of 1999, will be before an expected packed Reed Arena April 21st. Campus muster is the largest of the more than 300 ceremonies worldwide to honor the memories of current and former Aggies who died the previous year. For more, go online to WTAW.com. I'm Chelsea Reber on Sports Radio 1150 The Zone.
Howdy, this is Roy Hickman, president of the Bryan College Station Chamber of Commerce. The Chamber, the Brass Valley Restaurant Association, and title sponsor HEB invite you to a Taste of Aggieland, an Epicurean Extravaganza, Tuesday, March the 3rd, beginning at 5:45 p.m. at the Brazos County Expo Complex. Come sample cuisine from many local restaurants while enjoying an evening of entertainment, plus all the food and beverage from your favorite places. What a great way to spend your night. General admission, just $25. Premium tickets, only $50. Bring your appetite and bring your friends to a Taste of Aggieland, Tuesday, March the 3rd. Call 260-5200 for more details.
Get ready for a wild time with MSC Opus.
I'm Jack Hanna, and I'm on tour with some of the world's most fascinating animals.
America's most beloved zookeeper Jack Hanna brings his incredible animals to Rudder Auditorium live Saturday, February 28th, sponsored by Chick-fil-A Aggieland and South College Station, Opus Encore, and Primrose School of College Station.
Now, I'm coming to see you. Right, Punky?
Don't miss Jack Hanna's Into the Wild Live. Tickets at 845-1234 or mscopus.org.
Does your business want to reach seniors in the Brazos Valley? Then the upcoming issue of Brazos Wellness Magazine is the place to advertise. Brazos Wellness is a 48-page local publication filled with local articles that active seniors love to read. Plus, it's direct mailed, distributed at racks all over town, and will be available at the upcoming Senior Expo. To place an ad for your business in the Brazos Wellness Magazine for senior living, call Sam Jones with Bryan Broadcasting or email sam@bryanbroadcasting.com.
The godfather of sports talk.
I'll make him an offer again with you.
And the man responsible for Krista.
He's no different than any other powerful man.
Chip Howard evenings, 4 to 6 on The Zone.
Welcome back. Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle. Aubrey Bloom, Robert Cessna. Let's talk about the game itself. Let's talk big picture for what A&M. Let's get your text first. Someone said Roberson laid a big egg, dunked the ball. That's the power of Bobby Portis, though. He swatted so many shots early in the game, him and that other guy, that A&M got afraid to shoot. They wouldn't go up with the ball. And that's when Roberson's got to have a little bit better feel. Plus, at that point, you just got to throw the ball up there. You got to get a shot up. But again, that's another reason why A&M won the rebounding battle.
Correct.
Roberson, it is weird. Like you mentioned, he played so well against LSU and Kentucky, and he seems afraid of Arkansas.
I had a rough time, but like I said, I do. It.
And that to me has got to be something with the crowd. Okay. If the crowd psyched him out,
it
or
was
just
a big crowd.
Something. So anyway, someone else said, make a layup or jump you off. Is that your computer or my computer?
Wow. Where'd that come from?
Someone's making noise. Someone else said, make a layup or even better, dunk it. They look scared because of all the turnovers.
They did.
Also, someone said, love you, Cessna. Good thing you don't cover the Milwaukee Bucks. They have that Giannis Anta. I don't even know.
See, you can't even pronounce it.
I don't even know his name. G.A.
G.A. He's a G.A. I like it.
But big picture here, and this is the thing people want to know, what does this do for the tournament? I saw everyone diving off the deep end in the first half
last night.
It didn't really...
Nothing.
It could have helped, but that game wasn't going to hurt A&M, and it didn't. You can tell the people that update their brackets every day, and everyone gets so tied up in Joe Lunardi. There's other people out there that, quite frankly, I think do a better job. But Shelby Mast, bracketwag.com, he actually moved A&M up a line last night because of some other teams helping A&M out. Here's the thing. A&M is overall, I believe, 19-8 now.
That is correct, 19-8.
And if they win their next three games, they're 22-8. If they win one, lose one in the SEC tournament, let's say they win their first game and then lose to whoever, then they're, what would they be,
23-9.
Yeah, you're getting in. At some point, you've got enough wins that they can't keep you out. And I've been saying this all year. People that listen all the time are going to remember that. All I've been saying all year, the key for A&M, so many wins they can't keep you out, and they're about to get there. And what's funny, another thing helping A&M out is their friends up the road in Austin seem hell-bent on getting out of the tournament. We told you a week ago that this was going to happen, and here they are. They are now on Lunardi's last four in. They are on Shelby's... for last four in. The bracket matrix still has them a little bit above A&M, but it takes a little while. I talked about this before. The bracket matrix is a composite of every bracket on the internet, and not every bracket's updated every single day. So it takes a few days for events to really affect the bracket matrix, but Texas is plummeting down the bracket matrix, where A&M actually, again, went up last night to most people. The thing for A&M now, it is the same as it was before the Arkansas game, is now you have to beat Auburn and Alabama and not get killed by Florida, and you're probably in. I think if they beat Florida, they're definitely in, barring, again, some crazy things happening.
They still have zero bad losses.
Yeah.
Zero.
Well, and one thing yesterday, it's funny the way the NCAA tournament works, is people that are really smart about things sometimes don't understand the way the NCAA tournament works. I saw Jerry Palm at CBS did a whole big story, a column yesterday, about how to properly defend your team on social media. You know, when you're talking about, so it's my team should be in, and here's X, Y, Z, the things that matter, things that don't. And one of the things he said, things that don't matter, is when you play the game. He goes, the NCAA no longer has on their team sheets, which actually this is a cool thing they're doing this year. I think they did it last year, but no one paid attention. On NCAA.com, they're actually putting out the team sheets, as in what the committee looks at when they're looking at the team. They're putting those out. And so Jerry Palm did a whole thing about the team sheets saying that, you know, one of the things that's no longer on there is the last 10 games. In fact, the dates of the games aren't on there at all, so you can't figure out who's been winning lately or whatever. And that's not true. The dates of the games are on there. So I sent him a tweet back, and I said, this actually is on there. He goes, oh, yeah, how'd I miss that? So it's the date. The date is on there. But that's one of the things we're talking about, is this is a national writer who still doesn't makes mistakes like that. So we talk about things like RPI and how it matters and how it doesn't. One thing to remember is I've seen a bunch of columns about how the RPI doesn't matter. Well, it does. It does. And here's why. Because even though your RPI doesn't matter, on the team sheet, your wins are listed by the other team's RPI. So are they going to sit down and say, is the committee going to sit down and say, well, A&M's RPI is 33, LSU's is 52, A&M should get in over LSU? No, they don't do that. But what they do is they look at who you've beaten. And on that, on the who you've beaten thing, that is listed by RPI. That's the order that it comes in, not the order that you played them or, you know, anything like that. It's the order of RPI wins and losses. So it does matter way more than it should, but more as a foundation level than as anything else. Someone mentioned, and this is the team I've been hearing compared to, so I'm glad someone texted this one in, because me and actually Kate Hieropoulos last night were texting about this. It said Joe Lunardi had SMU as a 12 last year at tourney time. Aggies are fine if they take care of business at home in the second round of the SEC tournament. Yeah, I agree. And the other thing is, people, I keep hearing people compare A&M to SMU last year.
Which got hosed.
Because of the fact that they do have one thing in common, and that's that neither one had any big wins.
Big wins.
But the SEC is way better than the American.
Correct.
And I know the SEC isn't the ACC or the Big 12, but this year I think it's third or fourth in conference RPI. Last year the SEC was terrible, but this isn't last year. Last year the American was UConn and a bunch of just...
That's the bad thing with any comparison.
I think Louisville might have still been in the American last year.
Because it's no perfect matchup. Have all these, and you're talking SMU versus A&M. You're talking about a power conference and everything versus not a power conference and everything. So while I understand that when you say that A&M does not have any big wins, which is true, but I think if SMU did the same thing this year as it did last year, they'd have got in. I think they should have got in last year and didn't.
Yeah, and they were real close. And then the other thing is, two things. One, everyone keeps bringing up this 0-5 against the RPI, or 0-6 now against the RPI top 50, but LSU is going to end up in the RPI top 50. They still get to play Arkansas, and they still play Ole Miss. So they're going to end up there. So sure. That's one thing that I don't think people need to be worried about, because that won't be the case at the end. This record against the top 50 bit. And then the other thing is A&M is almost definitely going to get to play in the top 50 team in the SEC tournament. So whether it's Kentucky, which is the worst case scenario, or Ole Miss or Arkansas, they will get to play another one and they'll get another chance. I'd really like to see A&M get another swing at Ole Miss, because that was a game I think they just were horrible. It was just one of those not their night kind of deals.
Well, and then also you got to look where A&M's at. I just can't see them at all losing to Auburn and Alabama at home.
No.
And I can understand how they could lose to Florida. I mean, Billy Donovan has enough talent. He's great enough.
I almost think Florida's about to check out.
Well, they could be. I'm just saying, it wouldn't surprise me. It could happen. But my bottom line is, you're looking at A&M being at least 12-6 to me, at worst in conference, which means at worst you're going to be tied for fourth. And, you know, if you sweep, you have fourth place in a power conference. And I understand the tournament can take teams below you for certain reasons, but it's going to be hard to take LSU and not A&M when A&M is going to have a 2-0 record against LSU head up. And now Georgia has some bad losses, and right now Georgia would need A&M to lose one and win out just to tie A&M somewhere in the SEC. So right now, we keep getting back to this, Aubrey. A&M is taking care of business. That's the bottom line. They've won games and taken care of business.
And someone texted that SMU beat UConn twice last year, and then it's easy to think of UConn as the national champion, but UConn was a 7 seed. They weren't even ranked when the tournament started.
Let's remember where they were.
UConn was good.
Those were good wins.
But it's, again, similar to A&M's wins over LSU. I think that's part of the problem.
Good point.
So they were a fringe. I mean, they were going to be in. They ended up, I think, 26 or so on the S-curve or 28 or somewhere in there. And they got in, but they were only a 7 seed. So, you know, it's not like we're talking – which is about, you know, where LSU would have been if they wouldn't have lost to Auburn and South Carolina or whatever. So, again, similar. That's why people are comparing the two teams.
That's key.
The other thing is when you start lining some of these teams up, and it's easy to just focus on your team, but what you got to remember, and this is where people fall down sometimes. Like you hear so many people say, like, oh, they're not keeping a 22-win team out of tournament. But what will happen is you got to remember of who you're going up against. And for A&M right now, the field is pretty weak. That's why I keep saying it's not that big of a deal. They're probably still in because the teams you're comparing them to are – right now, the last four in, according to Lunardi, are Texas, Oregon, Illinois, and UCLA. UCLA, by the way, currently, I believe, is 16-12. Let me make sure that that's correct. But I believe that's their overall record. And they also haven't beaten. Yeah, they're currently 16-12. And that's who we're talking about. A&M's better than UCLA. They're better than Illinois. They're better than Oregon. And right now, they're probably better than Texas. So they're still fine.
And, you know, once again, I talk to you. I read the Post-Gazette every night. And they're looking at, you know, Pitt trying to get in. And also, you have to look at within your own conference. I mean, how many teams do you think the SEC is going to get in? And then you're looking at, well, who below A&M could get picked ahead of them? And once again, I think you and I think there's going to be five or six teams from the SEC,
yeah,
at least in the NCAA tournament. Right now, you can't keep A&M out of there. They're solidly in that cutoff.
Yeah, and that's what's funny is, you know, the one loss. And everyone wants to panic and, you know, what does it mean? And the thing is, it really doesn't mean much of anything. It would have really helped.
I was reading Pitt and it said, when you're in a tough ACC, you're so far down, you're going up against teams in your own conference that might edge you out. There's nobody like that at A&M right now. You can't say that Georgia has a better resume than A&M right now.
Yeah, well, and the problem for Georgia, this is why A&M needs Georgia to go ahead and get off the bubble too, is that Georgia beat A&M.
That's a big problem. At A&M.
Yeah, and the Ole Miss one's not as bad because it was at Ole Miss. The Georgia one, A&M, you have a problem there a little bit if they end up next to each other.
Real close.
But, yeah, you know, the ACC is – I'm glad you brought up Pitt because this is a team that people keep bringing up as a potential, you know, team that could make it in. And here's why. They did beat Notre Dame and they beat
North Carolina.
But the problem is they lost to Virginia Tech, who's horrible. Yeah, they lost to Clemson, who's average. And then they didn't do anything in their non-conference either. So right now they're 8-7 in the ACC. But the thing about the ACC, There's better teams. There's five good teams, and everyone else is average.
Here's the deal. Georgia's going to take care of business for A&M because they still have to play Kentucky, and they have to go to Ole Miss.
Yeah.
So while Georgia can Georgia can make a statement, I think Georgia is going to be in the NIT when it's all said and done.
Yeah, I just think they had too many bad losses while those guys had their injuries.
Those bad losses, because I don't see them winning at Ole Miss. Now, maybe that's going to prove me wrong.
I think the five are going to end up being – I think Kentucky, Arkansas, A&M, LSU, and Ole Miss are all going to end up
– so that means Georgia at best is going to go, what, 10-8 in league play? No, excuse me, 8-8 in league play.
Someone – you know, texted this. Someone said, shouldn't the committee look at the record sheet and consider a double overtime loss to Kentucky? This was interesting. If the team sheets that they're saying are the actual team sheets, it doesn't indicate how you lost.
Really?
It doesn't say in overtime or not.
I assume everybody.
Well, it has the score.
Okay.
But it doesn't say in OT, which is what I thought really interesting because that to me makes a huge difference. I was trying to find these yesterday. I don't know where Jerry Palm found them, but I need to look those up during the break. But long story short, we've already made it long, so we'll try to condense it down. But the thing is, A&M is still fine as long as – and this is why they need the big crowds and why it needs to be – they got to protect the home court. They beat Auburn and they beat Alabama, they're probably okay. And at this point, given the season they've had, that's really all you can ask. All you can ask for is a chance going into March, and that's what they've got.
Because you got to look – flip side is you got Auburn, Pearl's trying to, you know – foundation for his program, so winning at A&M would be a huge game for him. you've got Alabama. That guy might be trying to save his job, even though he recently got
Anthony Grant's in a little bit of trouble.
Yeah, he got an extension, if I'm not mistaken. But, you know, you want to please the people back home. So what's changed is Auburn, Alabama come in here needing that win for different reasons, and that's why A&M needs to take care of business. And when Aubrey's talking about, you don't want A&M to come out a little flat playing a team you're supposed to beat, and fans will help you. And if you look up and there's 6,000 listless people Saturday night at Reed Arena, that's not going to help.
Yeah, it definitely does not help. But, again, that's the big picture. A&M's still fine. Not worth panicking about.
No, at all.
Everyone, like I said, it was easy to go off the deep end the way they got killed last night, but they're still fine.
Look which one of those places you want to go to. That's what it's all about. You want to go to Pitt? You want to go to Jacksonville? I mean, look at that.
Well, and hey, it worked out. A&M doesn't get to play Texas, but it's worked out beautifully towards the end of the season here where you can be for A&M and you're against Texas wholeheartedly because they're in direct competition.
And you look at Texas's schedule, like Aubrey said, they're playing at Kansas.
Yeah.
And then what's funny is, I guess, Aubrey, you haven't looked. I guess Kansas State, if they won out, they're right now ahead of Texas in the standings. And they play Iowa State at home. If they could beat Iowa State at home, that'd be two great wins in a row. And I know they'd have work to do, but still, they could probably make it.
I think the only way that they've got a chance is they're going to have to win the Big 12 tournament. I think they have too many
bad losses.
Well, they have so many of them that I just don't know if they can catch up. Let's go to break. Again, don't panic. It's fine. And don't as long as they beat Auburn. Now, if they lose to Auburn, then we'll...
And before we get up basketball, Mark Turgeon, what a huge win for Maryland.
Yeah, well, yeah, as I say, we're going to come back.
I'm sorry.
We're going to come back, and I want to talk about some of the other games tonight and also the big game last night because that spawned some more court-rushing stuff today. We talked about court-rushing on the show yesterday. but, yeah, we'll talk about the Fighting Turgeons and some of the games tonight that you guys need to watch when we come back. Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagles, Sports Radio 1150, The Zone.
Howdy, this is Roy Hickman, president of the Bryan College Station Chamber of Commerce. The Chamber, the Brass Valley Restaurant Association, and title sponsor HEB invite you to a Taste of Aggieland, an Epicurean Extravaganza, Tuesday, March the 3rd, beginning at 5:45 p.m. at the Brazos County Expo Complex. Come sample cuisine from many local restaurants while enjoying an evening of entertainment, plus all the food and beverage from your favorite places. What a great way to spend your night. General admission just $25. Premium tickets only $50. Bring your appetite and bring your friends to a Taste of Aggieland. Tuesday, March the 3rd. Call 260-5200 for more details.
It's that time of year again, Truck Month, and nobody does it bigger or better than Team Navasota. With over 600 vehicles in stock and discounts as deep as $10,000 off 2015 Dodge Ram 1500s, there's no better time to buy than Truck Month, and there's no better place than Team Navasota. If you've been waiting for the perfect time to get your nice price, the time is now with $10,000 off 2015 Dodge Ram 1500s at Team Navasota's Truck Month. Call, come by, or click TeamNavasota.com today.
Double the Bellucci Hour, and you double the fun. So, twice a week, have lunch at the Tap from noon to 1 with Billy Lucci and Bryce Jones of TexAgs Radio. Billy and Bryce have the answers to all your recruiting questions and everything else you need to know to get in the know for Aggie football. The 2015 offseason doesn't feel half as long with a Bellucci Hour lunch. Brought to you in part by Stephen Gustitis, attorney at law. Don't miss the Bellucci Hour every Monday and Thursday from noon till 1 at the Tap.
Everyone knows Rattlers always has great specials in their stores, but with the Rattlers Registered Rewards Card, you'll get extra savings throughout the store. Got a sweet tooth? You'll love this month's candy special. Any king-size candy bar, two for only $2.22. Also, any size fountain drink's only a dollar, but with your Registered Rattlers Rewards Card, it's only 50 cents. See, you're saving already. And when you're calling it a day, be sure to stop in at your closest Rattlers store and pick up an 18-pack of any of the fine family of beers from Bud, Miller, and Coors for only $14.99. Save every day at Rattlers. Rattlers. Friendly. Clean. Texan.
Hi, this is Colonel Aaron Vangelisti, commander of the Air Force Reserve's 433rd Airlift Wing at Joint Base San Antonio, Lackland Air Force Base, Texas. Military experience can add greatly to your life, as it has mine. The Air Force Reserve locations throughout the region offer positions with excellent training, including the exciting areas of intelligence and cyberspace. I encourage you to start your adventure in the Air Force Reserve by going to afreserve.com or calling 800-257-1212.
Sponsored by the Air Force Reserve, aired by the Texas Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Edition.
The year is 1194 and Robin Hood must rescue the king by laying siege to Nottingham Castle. Don't miss this explosive stunt show every afternoon at Show at Forest Fair. You'll also see over 150 merchants and over 30 stage acts, full contact jousting, falconry, sword fighting, music, magic, and more. Show at Forest Fair is open Saturdays and Sundays, February 7th through March 29th, plus spring break Friday, March 20th, on highways 290 and 21 only an hour from Bryan College Station. Camping is available. Save $3 on tickets at participating Walgreens or online at showatforestfair.com.
Sports Radio, 1150 The Zone. Bryan College Station Institution since 2000.
Thinking of a master plan. Death with the record. Death with the record. Thinking of a master plan. This ain't nothing but sweat inside my hands. So I dig into my pocket, all my money spent. So I get deeper, but still coming up with lint. So I start my mission, leave my residence. Thinking how could I get some dead presidents? I need money. I used to be a stick-up kid. So I think of all the devious things I did.
Welcome back. Aubrey Bloom, Robert Cessnutz, Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle. Talking some big picture stuff, wrapping some stuff up from last night. It was the game before the A&M game, so we were watching it. The Fighting Turgeons, I don't know. I didn't listen to his post game, so I don't know if he still found a way to complain about it. But what a crowd that Turgeon had last night at Maryland.
Yeah.
They had the whole flash mob thing they're known for doing. It was crazy. What a scene. A friend of mine is there, Dustin Clark, that was with Turgeon here, is on the staff there now. And talk to him every now and then. So good for them up there. I know he's excited that A&M's doing well again down here too. He's an Aggie. I went to school with him before he joined the staff. So good for them up there. And you know, I don't know how most A&M fans feel, but I don't mind seeing Turgeon win at Maryland. I know a lot of
I don't at all.
Rub people the wrong way here, and it just was never really a perfect fit and all that kind of stuff.
This was a stepping stone. There's no doubt about that, and that kind of offended some A&M people, and I understand that because there's no doubt. As soon as a basketball job came open, he was gone. If it wasn't Maryland, it was going to be somebody else.
And like I said, he got one, and what a win for them last night.
Oh, the court storm.
It was a fun game to watch too.
He had some tight shoes going into this year.
It's funny, and I as someone who went to A&M and has watched A&M, it makes no sense coming from me. But I still think it's weird seeing Maryland in the Big Ten. Every time I see Maryland in the Big Ten standings, I'm like, what? But I should be used to it because, of course, A&M's that way.
Think about how their men and women have gone in there very, very well this year.
Yeah.
And man, that's really helped. That made that basketball league even better.
Yeah, so, that was going on last night. Another thing I do want to talk about, and I wanted to get all that out of the way first, so it doesn't sound like it's a bitter thing, because it partly is the officiating in SEC games. I don't know if it's just in particular if it's one or two crews, but last night's from the 10:45 mark of the second half to when they fouled Daniel House on that and one, so from 10:45 to about a minute 30. The foul count was 7-0 in favor of Arkansas. They didn't get called for a foul in almost 10 minutes in the second half. They were in the bonus when that run started. Like, already had 17 fouls, and didn't get called for another one for like 10 minutes. That was ridiculous.
Good defense.
I mean, that was just insane. I thought, me and some friends have a long-standing bet on if Billy Kennedy ever gets a technical. I thought last night might be the night, because he was not thrilled for a long time.
But he didn't get
officiating.
It.
Nope, still didn't get it. Let's talk about the games tonight. Another big night in.
Yeah, why is SEC officiating so bad?
I don't know, but it's brutal.
A&M would take Big 12 back in a minute.
Well, and then every now and then you get Mark Whitehead was at the game Saturday.
Whitehead,
he's not
yes,
bad.
He was.
It's funny you say Whitehead's not bad. A&M fans used to hate him, but now based on some of the guys you get,
you want Whitehead.
Have Mark
you
Whitehead.
Want Whitehead.
Yeah.
And Hairdo.
Yeah, tonight, the big game tonight, 8 o'clock on ESPNU, interestingly, though, is Baylor-Iowa State. That's the big one in the Big 12. Both of those teams, I guess, fighting for
seeding
and where exactly they fall. Your biggest bubble game is probably Miami against Florida State because Miami's right there on the edge. A big game Saturday is the Missouri Valley 1-2 teams are playing. But Ooh. Tonight, Wichita's got to get past Indiana State first. Wichita State plays Indiana State tonight. Wichita State, Northern Iowa on Saturday is going to be a great game. That might be one of the better games of the day. I think they're ranked 10th and 11th or 11th and 12th.
Game, yeah.
Trying to see who else is on the bubble tonight. For some reason, Duke's still on ESPN2. They're playing Virginia Tech, who's horrible.